When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We need to come out and talk about these things because it will kind of put that superficiality, if you will, you know, down. And you just realize the fact that the baby is living, breathing, whatever it is, whoever he or she is, whatever they decide to do with their life, it doesn't matter.
Hey, thanks for listening to We're Momming Today. If you're listening on a smart speaker or website, make sure to find me, Lauren Simonetti, on your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Google, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And don't forget to leave me a review. We're momming today with Francesca Page, a new mom who went through a dramatic birth experience, delivering her baby nearly 3 months early and then living in the hospital for weeks on end. Most women don't share these scary experiences, and maybe we should. Francesca, wow. And your baby girl is only 10 months old,
yeah.
So you're still in the thick of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very much in the thick of it, but you know, I sometimes have to remind myself how far we've come looking at her now. She's 10 months, but a little smaller, which is inevitable, but she's basically caught up to her adjusted age. So, yeah.
So just take me back to what happened, 10 months ago. You were in your second trimester.
Yep.
And did you feel the pain? What made you, how did you know you were going to deliver this child?
Right. Well, I always suspected she was going to come early. Mother's instinct about these things, despite what doctors were saying. There was a lot of not knowing. I planned for a completely normal birth. My pregnancy was great up till 6 months. And then I thought I had a backache. It was really funny. I was telling my husband my back hurts, like maybe I'll take a bath, I'm not sure. And he's, you know, how men do, oh, it's nothing. And then it got progressively worse. I went into the hospital, they sent me home and said, it's just kind of fake contractions, nothing's going on, you haven't dilated, don't worry. But they continued over the next 2 days and they really didn't stop until she was born 3 weeks later.
So how did she was born in the hospital?
She was born in the hospital. She had normal vaginal birth. And I was in the hospital in the antepartum ward for about 2 weeks.
This is pre-delivery?
Pre-delivery.
So you went back into the hospital because these back pains, wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And what did the doctor say to you?
The doctor originally said, there's nothing to worry about, sent me home. I came back the next day because I started bleeding. And then they think it could be a number of things. They tested me for everything from a kidney infection to I did ultrasounds, everything. Eventually, they concluded that they thought it might be an abrupted placenta. That means that the placenta itself has a tear or a hole in it and blood is leaking, basically. So it has to be monitored. It can be a slow leak, you know, or it can be a big leak where they have to do a very quick birth. But we couldn't see the hole. So we were just guessing and trying to kind of put the contractions on a downer, so to speak, so that I didn't dilate and give birth too early. And every day was another day she was progressing and developing. And so they wanted
to. They say cook the baby as long as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was painful for you.
It was excruciating. I was having contractions for 3 weeks. nonstop. There's a lot of drugs out there, which they kind of guinea pigged me on to see if they would help. You can only take so many of them. So, you know, I just kept going on and off of different kinds of painkillers, you know, sleeping maybe 3 hours a night because they had to keep coming in and doing tests. And I would go up and down between the antepartum, so the, you know, pre-birth area, down into the emergency room, back up again. And it was just a waiting game. I had a calendar in my room and I was like, she's in one more day, she's in one more day.
And you did that for 3 weeks, you said?
For two and a half, yeah.
Then you delivered.
I delivered, yes.
And then what happened then? Because I'm imagining the first thing you want to do is hear the baby scream.
Yes.
And hold it.
Yes. So funnily enough, when people talk about, you know, the birth experience, labor is obviously the thing people say is the most painful part of it. For me, the labor was the least painful part because of all the pain I'd had leading up to it. And she was only 2.8 pounds. She wasn't, you know, I could cough when she came out. Mm-hmm. But, it was still about half an hour of pushing. And then she came out and she came out breathing and crying. And that was such relief. A huge moment, yeah, because she could breathe on her own. I had been pumped full of steroids and a number of other things that kept her developing and kept her safe. So when she came out, she was small, but she was, you know, very much a baby, which was a huge relief to us.
And then what happened?
They took her away. She went right up to the NICU, Mount Sinai, where I delivered, has an amazing world-class NICU department. And, you know, after that, it was kind of me trying to get out of the bed as quickly as possible to go up to the NICU unit. I think I saw her for the first time about 3 hours after I delivered her. And it was amazing. You don't look at other babies compared to your baby. No matter how they come out, they're beautiful to you, you know. She was breathing and she was funny, you know, she was making all these funny expressions, and it was difficult to see, you know, for any parent, it's difficult to see your child in any pain. And at that point, you know, the baby has a lot of different things going on, tubes and fluids going in and out and tests being done. But the nurses up there are amazing. You know, they treat the baby like a normal baby. They wanted me to try changing her diaper, which I did, and I didn't get to hold her for the first time till about a month after that, which was probably the toughest thing.
You were changing her diaper but not able to hold her.
Right. There's like little holes in the side of the box where you can put your hands in, but we couldn't take her out until she was a little older and more stable. Yeah.
That's traumatic.
It is.
It's not the story people tell and not the story people hear.
Right. It is traumatic. And what I found so interesting about this experience is everyone has a birth story. And more women than I realized have gone through really traumatic birth stories, you know, whether it's a miscarriage or an early delivery or you name it. And once that baby comes home, we kind of like...
You forget about all of that pain, all of that drama. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you're focused on baby.
Completely. And, you know, I understand that. But I do think it's really important that we talk about it because it does stay in our mind as somewhat of a traumatic experience.
Has this affected your desire to have baby number two? Because I did not have a story nearly as tragic as yours. But it was touch and go there for a while, mm-hmm. In the delivery room. Mm-hmm. And it was painful.
Sure.
And I was impacted and affected by it. And my dad said to me, because at the time I was like, I can't imagine doing this again. I can't imagine doing this again. Mm-hmm. And he said, Lauren, women have a very short memory when it comes to childbirth. You'll be surprised how quickly you're going to want another child. And I have to say, he was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Initially, I couldn't even imagine it. Well, part of that is because when I went back for my checkup, my gynecologist said, look, you're now high risk. So there's a high chance that this could happen again. You know, I just want you to know that. It wasn't, you know, something I thought about, but as, you know, as I said, she's become a normal baby to me. And I've put this so far in the back of my mind.
Because she is a normal baby.
To me, that's, you know, but I put it so far in the back of my mind now. And there's so many wonderful things and experiences we've done together in the 10 months she's been with me that, yeah, 100% I'd love to have another child, even if I went through this again.
Yeah. Well, and but knowing this, the doctors would likely monitor you a little bit more and a little bit differently.
Yes.
So you think that mothers should talk more openly about these stories and share these birth stories?
I do. I was surprised when I went through what I went through, how many women came forward. Women I knew, friends of my mother, family, relatives, best friends, that said, you know, I had a miscarriage or I had twins and I was in the NICU unit for 6 weeks or whatever it was. And I was so shocked that I guess it just had never come up because it is traumatic. And I think it's important to air that you're not alone in it because you feel really alone.
And then you go on Instagram and you see like beautiful pictures of like glamorous women having just delivered a baby. And you're like, really? Well, but no, actually, there's people, you know, schedule hair and makeup shoots when they feel like they're going into labor or if they have a C-section scheduled. But it's really not that glamorous. I'm like, I'm happy you have your picture.
Yes.
But what was it really like?
Right. Actually, I have a funny story about that was I wanted to do something like that. You know, I wanted to do like a maternity shoot.
You wanted to be a beautiful mom right in the delivery room.
Right. And I wanted to do it somewhere in the park or something. And I knew once I went into the hospital, I wasn't going to leave till she was born. So my younger sister surprised me. She turned up at the hospital with a photographer and a green screen. Even my dog, we snuck in. And we took photos of me right there in the antepartum ward and with the IV in my arm and everything. And, you know, a week later, the baby was born.
How jarring was it for you to have your life stopped? You don't have a baby yet and you're sitting in a hospital. Mm,
yeah.
What was that like?
There was two ways of going about it, and there was a lot of other women in there with me. Either you could sit there and think, okay, well, I can only go down this corridor, and I don't know what's going to happen, and there's so much unknown here. Or you can sit there, and which I try to do and remind myself, this is a beautiful thing. This baby is going to come when she's going to come, no matter what. I should be excited. I should be celebrating the life that's going to happen. And I tried to be really positive, you know, just through the entire thing. I decorated my room. I prepared for the baby. And I think that really changed everything in terms of once she was delivered, I was in a better frame of mind than I would have been otherwise.
Is there a stigma attached to having a preemie baby?
I think so. I think that's probably been the hardest thing to overcome. In the first few months, people asking, how old is she? And me not really knowing whether to give the right answer, because in giving the right answer and saying, well, she's 2 months old, even though she looks, you know, tiny, you know, I then have to justify the whole story and explain what happened. And then that's a lot. You don't want to keep having to relive it. So the moment she kind of cooled up was a relief for me and my husband because we didn't have to explain it anymore. But yeah, for sure. And you also, it reminds you, did I do anything wrong? How could I have prevented this from happening? And, you know, the truth is the doctors will tell you that so much of this happens, it just happens. And there isn't really anything you can do. There's a lot we still don't know, which is surprising to me, but true. There's so much about the birth process we're still learning scientifically. So, you know, I think this is going to develop over the years. And
do you have a friend or were you perhaps this soon-to-be mother who was very very consumed with the sex of the baby, the eye color of the baby, their own physical appearance, losing the weight right away? And do you just want to, you know, kind of push them aside a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's kind of why, again, it's important to share these stories. Because it does put perspective on things. I'm not saying that people should scare themselves, you know.
But inject some reality in there.
Yeah. I mean, look, when we first took photos of her and videos, I still have – it's difficult for me to even watch them because I look at them and I think – at the time, I didn't see, but – But it's tough to see. But I think, yes, absolutely, we need to come out and talk about these things because it will kind of, you know, put that superficiality, if you will, you know, down. And you just realize the fact that the baby is living, breathing, whatever it is, whoever he or she is, whatever they decide to do with their life, it doesn't matter.
It's the most vulnerable 9 months.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
then, of course, 18 years after that.
Yeah.
when you're constantly worried.
I know.
But, yeah, especially if you've been through something, and I have, that, you know, I remember just, like, every doctor's visit, I would just, like, after the sonogram, I'm like, okay, there's a heartbeat. Okay, yes, there's still mm-hmm. a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, that constant fear of, like, is this going – am I going to get a baby after this whole process?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you have to start from scratch.
Yes, yes.
And that's complicated for a lot of people too. Sometimes science and money is involved in that one. So this is stressful, and it's stressful on the woman, obviously more mm-hmm. so, but it's also stressful on dad.
It is. I think that needs to be talked about too. It is difficult for the men to know what to do because they feel, my husband felt completely helpless. He wasn't able to stay with me in the hospital. You know, I was there for weeks. He could, but I mean, it was awkward. And the nurses are waking you up all night. So he visited me every day, but that was tough for him. Going to work, coming to me in the morning, going to work, coming to me at night. You know, this is the middle of January, February. It was freezing cold. And then once the baby came, we had 6 weeks in the NICU. So there was all that time where every day I was going in pumping milk. My husband was coming to visit sometimes twice a day. You know, we lived about an hour from the hospital, so that was pretty grueling.
So let me ask you this. What's your daughter's name?
Nicolette. We called her Nicolette just quickly because she was born into the NICU unit.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah, and Rose is her middle name because she was born Valentine's Day.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So when you finally took Nicolette Rose home, what was that must have been scary. I mean, so you were so happy but mm-hmm. so scary. Like, okay, it's just me now. Because being a new mom with a normal birthing right. story, that first night alone is really scary. Like, what do I do?
Yeah, it is. I think it's scary for everyone. Yeah. That was the first time, actually, I was nervous in a good way because I thought, well, now this feels normal. I know everyone is afraid when they take the baby home. But we were so lucky because we had all these nurses for weeks showing us how to do things. And she had a great, great nurse towards the end of her stay who just really hands-on showed me how to bathe her, how to do everything. Don't worry.
It's not natural to know that.
No. No, I don't know how people learn this stuff. I think it's just trial and error.
It is.
But yeah, after the first night, things were easy. But it's nerve-wracking for everyone the first day the baby comes home. And she was so little. She could barely fit in the car seat. She was tiny. But we felt like a family, and I remember that. We have a dog, too, and me and my husband, the baby and the dog, we walked around outside, and I thought, finally, we feel like a family. We don't feel like one person's here, one person's there, the baby's in the hospital. I'm in the hospital. We were together.
And she's healthy.
And she was healthy. It was just...
So where are you now in all of this, 10 months later?
She's kind of like every other 10-month-old to some extent.
Okay.
She's going, almost turning into a toddler, I want to say now, because she's got a little personality and grabbing things and she's crawling. And she's catching up, which is really exciting. You know, there's certain things you have to monitor, and I got lucky with her, but a lot of babies have things you have to look after, you know, post them coming home. Her eyesight is being monitored, which is pretty common for premature babies, where they had oxygen. And sometimes the eye doesn't develop the way that it should, but all of these things are fixable, so mm-hmm. to speak. You know, touch wood, we've been really lucky. She really hasn't had any.
How have you held up in all of this?
Oh, good. It's been long. I want to say it's been long because I'm sad a little bit. I wish I had reached full term. I see pregnant women all the time and they're like, you know, they complain their feet are swollen and they have this big belly.
You're like, I never looked pregnant.
I know. And it's kind of sad. And for anything else, I'd like to try and have a baby again to just, you know, to be at that point, because that's the one thing that kind of gets taken away from you. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a minor thing, but it does affect you a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's been a long journey.
Have you returned to work? I know you're a journalist.
Yes.
You cover travel and leisure?
Yes, I do. Yes, travel and lifestyle.
And lifestyle.
Yes. I have bits and pieces. It's tough to explain to people when I couldn't let the baby have a nanny for a while.
No. You have to be more hands-on.
Right.
Mothers. Absolutely.
So some people understand, some people don't.
Well, let's talk about that. Who doesn't understand?
I'm not going to generalize and say it's people without children.
But it is.
Sometimes it is, yes.
Or people with like picture-perfect lives that can't imagine.
Or older people that kind of have forgotten.
Right.
You know, friends of my mother or whatever. They might, and it's not their fault. You know, they just kind of have forgotten that I can't just step away from the child and put her down.
Gosh.
And that can be tough. Traveling with her has been, I travel a lot with her, you know, and it's part of my job. She was on a flight at 3 months to
LA. It's actually easier when they're younger.
Yeah, it's harder now. Mm-hmm. I did a train journey back from Boston and it was 4 hours of her jumping up and down and throwing food. It's been a long journey. She's doing really well. And, you know, I guess from this point onwards, it's just all the normal things that we have to look out for.
Is it normal such a nice word?
I know.
Congratulations on getting there.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's not a glamorous story.
No.
It doesn't go on Instagram.
It's not glamorous.
And it's important to hear.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. And you are so strong for doing all
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank
because
you.
Because as you're speaking, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This could happen to any. This could happen to me. This could happen to anybody.
It can.
And you have to get through it.
Yeah. But you're not alone. It happens to women all the time. So.
Thank you, Francesca.
Thank you.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.